Hi everyone, welcome along to The Sweet Spot. It's the Racing Post's weekly golf show. Bruce Millington and James Mason looking back on three events last week and ahead to two this week. We've got the second part of the three-week FedEx Cup Series, the playoffs. And then we've also got something called the DP World Tour. I've forgotten about that. I haven't had a tournament for ages, but that's back in action as well. We'll have a bit of Ryder Cup chat as well. Let's look back on last week, though, because it was deja vu, literally. Lilia Vu won her second major of the year, the British Open at Walton Heath. Cam Smith won his second LIV tournament in 3 weeks. And the star of the week, what a man, Lucas Glover. Back-to-back wins. Absolutely extraordinary performance by him. And I suppose, James, the best place to start is with Lucas Glover. Where on earth does this come from?
I've absolutely no idea. He's always been a good player, hasn't he? Of course, with the major victory he had, but that was years ago.
When 2009, he won the US Open, didn't he, of course?
Yeah, it's such a long time. I mean, I think what I've seen recently is I believe he changed putter very recently and he got a new putter in the bag. See, in terms of tee to green play, Glover's always been really steady. He's a steady Eddie, he's a fairway finder, he hits greens, but it's always been the putter that's kind of let him down over the past few years. And I think I've seen something where he has got a new putter in the bag now. Before his
it's not the long one, is it, but it's just a different make, isn't it?
Yeah, just a different make, maybe something that he went to further back when he won that major. Maybe he's gone back to something he's familiar with, and it's certainly working, because when you hit as many greens as he does and you give yourself birdie chances, when the putter starts to work, then you're going to start winning stuff. It's sort of like a Scottie Scheffler in terms of, he hit so many tee to green players superb. When his putter starts to work, then Scheffler's going to start winning again. So yeah, fair credit to Glover, because he wasn't going to make the playoffs and now he's fourth, I think, in the FedEx Cup standings.
Well, he's entered the Ryder Cup conversation now, James, hasn't he? He was asked after that, and he was very adamant that he wants a piece of it. So let's talk Ryder Cup in that case, because our latest betting, don't forget, we're, 6 weeks away from the Ryder Cup in Italy at the end of September. It's roughly 4-6 the US, 6-4 Europe, and 12-1 the draw. And I've seen some prizes to make the team. I'll just take you through some of the guys who are sort of on the cusp. We know that there's the certainties, and there's the ones that don't have much chance. Seth Straka 1-4 to be on the European team. McIntyre 1-5. Morant 4-9. Ludvig Åberg, the progressive Swede, he's 1-2. And then you've got Rasmus Højgaard 11-10. Alex Noren 5-4. Victor Perez is 2. Nikolaj Højgaard 2. Yannick Paul 2. And here's someone. I was like, what's this guy doing on the list? Adrien Dumont de Chastar is 5-2 to be on the European Ryder Cup team. Literally, until 10 minutes ago, I never heard of him. Who's he?
He's not a name that I don't think many will know, but yeah, a quick bit of research is that he won on the Corn Ferry Tour last month. So from being sort of a nobody, he's not a nobody now, but he's still not well known in the sphere of being on the DP World Tour or the PGA Tour. I can't see him making any sort of impact in terms of on the Ryder Cup side. I mean, I've been scrolling through the European rankings for the European points, And I can't find him anywhere. So I don't know how he's suddenly come into this conversation. And I don't think he will be in the conversation, because I think what we've seen in previous Ryder Cups, usually when it comes to captain's picks, they don't throw in somebody who's just hit form a few weeks before the tournament. They usually have in their mind now who they're looking at as their potential picks. And you don't rarely get anyone that just sort of makes their way into the tournament by winning a few tournaments before the Ryder Cup.
Well, the list I've got for the US doesn't even have poor old Lucas Glover on it. So again, players who are sort of on the cusp, and this just shows how difficult it's going to be for Zach Johnson. He's going to have some really, really difficult conversations to make with the guys he's admitted. Colin Morikawa 1-4, Justin Thomas 2-5. That'd be a joke if he plays. He's so out of form. You cannot pick Justin Thomas. I mean, I wish I could back 7-4, not, but I suppose Zach Johnson will give it to him. Cam Young 4-9, Finau 6-4, Sam Burns 7-4, Keegan Bradley 2. And then you've got the likes of Denny McCarthy and Dustin Johnson at 8s and Bryson DeChambeau at 10s. So, I mean, he could just sort of go all anti-Liv and leave them out and sort of save himself a couple of headaches there. But he certainly Zach Johnson's got some difficult decisions to make. Anything in any of those lists of prices to make the cut that sounds like value to you, James?
Yes, it's really, really difficult, because you look at the top six at the moment for the US side. Brooks Koepka's in there at the moment, but he could be caught if somebody sort of wins one of these last two events before the qualifying series ends. Obviously, Xander Schauffele, I think, will be in. I mean, I mentioned in last week's Sweet Spot that Fred Couples has already revealed three players that will be there. Max Homer was one of them. Cameron Young was another one, and Jordan Spieth was another one. So there's
how can you give Cameron Young a place?
Absolutely no idea.
He's definitely going to be there. That's so bizarre.
Yeah, but he said that, and currently out of those three, Max Homer's the only one in the top six. He's got the sixth spot at the moment. So you're thinking, right, well, there's two captain's picks gone already. Keegan Bradley looks like a good one for me. I think he's around 2-1. You can get him to make the side. He's currently 11th in the automatic standings. I think if he, you know, if he shows himself over the rest of the tournaments before the Ryder Cup, and he's got experience of playing in a Ryder Cup before, I think he's someone that could potentially get in there. That looks like a decent shout. DeChambeau 10-1. I just can't see Zach Johnson picking LIV golfers willingly with his captain's pick. I don't think that will happen. So I don't think he'll get in unless there's a wild change.
Aren't they trying to set it all up to be as kind of tight and accurate and fiddly as possible? I saw some footage of a ball being dropped into the rough and it disappeared. So I think they're going to make sure that, you know, fairway finding is more important than length. So we'll see what happens there. Fascinating few weeks going into the Ryder Cup. Anything else catch your eye from last week anywhere, James?
Not particularly when I was looking around. I mean, obviously you've got the hard luck stories from the 20 players that didn't make the cut for the BMW Championship. Mackenzie Hughes, I think, was the very unlucky. He was 51st, so he didn't make it in. Nick Hardy.
Don't be unlucky being 51st, James. That's not good. If you've got 50 places and there's only 75 of you, there's no hard luck stories, mate.
Well, I mean, there's a slight hard look in the sense that I think the top 50, they've got qualification into the signature events for next year, all of those signature events, where the 20 that have just missed out haven't got automatic into those signature events. So there's a slight hard look story there. But yeah, I think Nick Hardy, he just missed out as well. I think there was a switch in terms of Matsuyama was outside of it, had a stellar end to his round. He got into the top 50, and Nick Hardy, he needed to birdie his last hole and didn't, and then he dropped out of the top 50. So, yeah, there's hard luck stories, but I think they'll be doing all right for next season, won't they, the 20 that have missed out.
They'll definitely be able to pay the gas bill, I'd say. slightly disappointing that, I mean, Walton Heath looked absolutely gorgeous, didn't it? And it deserved a real epic finish. But, I mean, you can't blame Lilia Vu for that, can you? She played fantastically on the Sunday and put it to bed. But all I can say there is that, you know, in the sunshine with the heather out, I thought Walton was absolutely stunning. And it's a great idea to play open championships at some of our lovely inland courses. Men, take note. Right, should we look ahead, James?
Yes, right. I was just a quick mention, actually, just because obviously the PGA selections last week, hold my hand up, they didn't do fantastically. But Andrea Lee did come in for us in the Women's Open at 150-1 she placed. So
that's
always a nice one to get. And then the LIV Golf as well, Patrick Reed would have got a place as well because he was tied fourth or tied third, I think it was. So at least a couple of places came in.
Absolutely. And we should, of course, give due credit to Ian Wilkerson, our colleague Ian Wilkerson, who put up Lucas Glover at 80-1 in the Racing Post last Wednesday. So do check out the Racing Post this Wednesday for all the great stats, tips, odds, comments for all the leading players. It's a fantastic package. And also, while I'm on the subject of promotion, don't forget, if you do enjoy the Sweet Spot, we would love you to like, comment, subscribe and share. That's it. Got more. Right then, let's look ahead. It's the BMW Championship, as James said, 75 went into battle last week. We're down to 50. That will be down to 30 next week for the season-ending tournament. This is the BMW Championship, and here is the latest state of play as regards the betting. It's only 50, but you can still get extra places. Seen 8 places on offer, which isn't bad in a field of 50. Right then, indicative prices: Rory McIlroy, 5-7-1. Scotty Scheffler, 15-2. John Rahm, 9s. Patrick Cantlay, who of course got into a playoff with Glover last week, 10s, Victor Hovland, 14, Schauffele and Fleetwood, 18, Morikawa, 20, Homer, 22, and it's 25-1 bar. James, where does the BMW Championship take place and what kind of golfer will it suit?
Yeah, this is Olympia Fields Country Club. It's the North Course in Illinois. Second time it's been, the BMW's been played here. 2020 was the only other time, and that's when John Rahm beat Dustin Johnson in a playoff. Now, not sure if you remember, both players finished on 4 under. Scoring is so tough at Olympia Fields. This is going to be a real brutal test. It's an all-round test, but only 5 players were under par for that event in 2020. There was 2 players that were level par, so 7 overall were level or under. The rest were all over par. It was hugely entertaining on the last round in 2020 as well. DJ holed a huge putt on the 18th hole to force a playoff, and then Rahm, who'd hit a 6 under final round to shoot up the leaderboard, he holed a 63-foot putt to win the playoff as well. It was basically from one side of the green to the other. It was an amazing end to the tournament, so hopefully we're going to have some more fireworks like that. Olympia Fields, in terms of its history, it's hosted a few major championships, but not for a while. The PGA in 1925-1961. It's had a couple of US Opens. The most recent was 2003 when Jim Furyk had his victory. It's had the US Senior Open, the US Amateur in 2015 when Bryson DeChambeau won. That's when they had mixed scoring between stroke play, and then it goes to knockout matches. And then the Women's PGA is the most recent major. That was 2017 when Danielle Kang won. So it should, like I said, make for a really, really interesting test. The average score for the tournament, by the way, per round was 71.904. So it shows how tough it is. It's the 4th most difficult course on the PGA Tour during the 2019-20 season. Only Bay Hill, Muirfield Village and PGA National were harder than it. So it just shows that this is going to be really, really difficult. It demands, like I said, it demands an all-around game. Every aspect of your game's got to be good. If you're someone who is just snuck into the top 50, maybe, I'm not sure if you're going to have the minerals, really. I think you've got to be hitting a good bit of form consistently going into this tournament to be able to play. I think if any part of your game is off, you're going to really struggle.
Okay, how many selections have you got, James?
Going for 3 selections. I nearly had 4. Just missing out was Brian Harman. He's the only one that just was edged out for me, but I've gone for 3 selections.
Okay, then who do you like the most?
Top pick is Patrick Cantlay at 10-1. Now, he was 12th here in 2020, so straight away, that's positive signs that he's got a liking to this course. He arrives here after that playoff defeat last week as well in Memphis, and although he could suggest that he'd be disappointed by that, will he be able to pick himself up? I just think it was a confidence-boosting performance from him, one that should spur him on, really. He's actually aiming to win the BMW for the 3rd straight time. He's won it at the 2 other courses before that. But first of all, for Cantlay, really, what I need for this course is he's solid off the tee. He leads in total driving. He's 5th in strokes gained off the tee. Then you want them to be hitting greens. Well, he's 12th in greens and regulation, and he's one of the best putters on tour. He's shown that over the past few years. There will be the need for some scrambling over the 4 days as well. You're never going to hit all of these greens. You know, they've got big slope off areas. You've got to be able to get up and down. And the positive for me is that Cantlay was 10th in scrambling last week in the FedEx St. Jude Invitational. So I think he's just looking in really good form. And not that he's been overlooked because he's prominent in the betting, but I just think Cantlay is a player who he does, people just sort of bypass him slightly when they're looking at who they're going to back. For some reason, Cantlay just doesn't seem to be up there. And maybe it's because he hasn't won a major, but I think he's really prime for the picking for this week.
Right, so Patrick Cantlay is James Mason's number one pick for the BMW. Who's the main danger?
Main danger is a Colin Morikawa at 20-1. Now, he had his first appearance last week since his miscut at the Open, and he performed well at TPC Southwind. He was tied 13th, so I think that's positive from him. I think he maybe needed that little bit of a break from the major championship to get back into basically full focus for the FedEx Cup playoffs. Now, tee to green again, Morikawa is one of the best around. He's in the top 5 for both strokes gained tee to green and approach this season. He's 5th in greens and regulation, and he's 2nd in drive and accuracy. Only Russell Henley is better in that department for him. The slight concern, I know I said it's an all-around test with Morikawa, has been his putting. That's proven to be the case this season. He's way down in the strokes gained area for putting. However, he did look better with the flat stick last week. He was 10th in strokes gained putting on round 1 and 18th in round 4. There seems to be a bit more confidence on the greens for me, and I think that area of his game, if it can improve, then he's a real, real danger. He was 20th here on his debut 2020 as well. So yeah, if the flat stick can just get a bit hotter, I think he's a real big danger.
Okay, Patrick Cantlay for gold, Colin Morikawa for silver, who for bronze?
Bronze, we're going for Hideki Matsuyama, around 33-1. You can get him. Now, the Japanese wasn't going to make this event until I mentioned earlier. He went 5 under over his last 6 holes in Memphis to move into 47th spot. So he moved up 10 places to qualify for this tournament. Right away there, he's got a lot of confidence and momentum heading into this tournament, but he can't slow down. He needs another strong showing to get himself into that top 30. Now, Matsuyama is another player that's generally been good tee to green this season. He's in top 15 for strokes gained in tee to green approach and around the green. Again, a bit like Morikawa, it's the putter that's been the issue for him. That's what's been stopping him from returning to the winner's circle. But there were definite signs, again, like Morikawa, of improvement with that club over last weekend. He was 4th and 7th in putts per green in regulation on Saturday and Sunday, while he was 11th and 9th in strokes gained putting on Saturday and Sunday again. So hopefully he can keep that form going. His putting in the first two rounds was poor, but the fact that he just seems to have got something going over the weekend suggests to me that he's sort of more in confidence, more at ease with that club now. And if he can continue with his strong tee to green game, like he has, I think he's got a really, really good chance of contending. He was 3rd here as well in 2020, so has a liking for this venue.
Okay, and what was it that caught your eye about Brian Harman? It was almost for selection.
Yeah, it was almost. It's just the fact that from his open performance, you saw that he was bullet straight off the tee. Pressure didn't get to him. And his short game, his up and down game, his putting is absolutely superb. I mean, he barely missed any putts across that 4 days at the Open to lift the claret jug. And with all the pressure that was on him, that was really pleasing to see. He just didn't quite make it for me. I think it's the approach play has to be, you know, has to be quite high up in. For me, I'm just not sure if Brian Harman is there. Obviously, he came off the back of his open performance and he was around tied 30, tied 32nd, tied 33rd last week, which wasn't bad, but I'm just not sure. He just didn't quite fit the bill for me for this tournament this week.
If you had to pick one out of Rory McIlroy, Scotty Scheffler and Big Johnny Rahm, who would you go for?
I would be going for John Rahm. Just the fact that he has that, just the fact that he has that win in 2020. McIlroy is full of confidence at the moment, but I just think Rahm likes going back to courses that he's previously done well at. And again, I think
he's having some bad tournaments, though, isn't he? I mean, we all know the problem with Scheffler; he just can't putt. Mm. And either that's going to rectify itself and he'll win half the track, or the rest of his game, which has been propping him up, will fall apart and he'll be tailed off. I don't know, with Rahm, he does pop up, doesn't he, sometimes? He can return to form just like that. But he's having some stinkers. And I just, the old temperament, he just seems simmering away, don't you?
Yeah, it is for Rahm. But last week, I don't think he didn't need a magical performance because he's already going to make the top 30. So it's more just about now improving his position there to get the different strokes that you get for starting this tour championship. So I think this could be a tournament that he really turns into now and he tries to get himself into the top spot or at least keep him in that first three positions.
Okay, let's turn our attention now to the ISPS Handa World Invitational, which I stupidly claimed was in Sweden last week. It was in Northern Ireland. Apologies for that. Here are the latest prices. Bobby McIntyre. It's 12-1. Victor Perez is 16. Langask 18. Ewan Ferguson 18. Tom McKibben 20. Matthew Jordan 22. So is Laurie Kanter and Adrian Ottagay. And it's 25-1 bar. So McIntyre will be looking to absolutely seal the deal as far as his Ryder Cup place is concerned. Tell us about the venue before we get your selections, James.
Yeah, so it's played over two courses, is this tournament. So you've got Galgorm, Castle Golf Club and County Antrim. So that's used for three of the rounds. And you've got Castle Rock Golf Club and County Londonderry, which is, there's about 34 miles between the two courses. Different because Castle Rock Golf Club is a links course and then Galgorm is a parkland course. So it's two different types of tests that you're going to have. So the whole field, so it's a men's and a women's tournament is played concurrently. They play at the same time, but it's obviously they have their own tournament. So there's betting for both the women's and the men's. So got selections for both of those. But Castle Rock has just been added as a co-host. So it was Massarine, which had been used over the past couple of editions, but that's gone now. So Castle Rock is in. It's been going, this tournament, since 2019, when it was just a Challenge Tour event, still with a separate men's and women's. It then got sort of European Tour status when it was known as the European Tour in 2021, and LPGA status as well. Now it's DP World Tour. So you've got a halfway cut for this one. You get the top 60 in ties, and you then have another cut after the third round where you get the top 35 in ties. So that's the sort of the structure for it. In terms of the courses, like I mentioned, Galgorm, it's a par 70, 7,151 yards for the men, par 73 for the women of 6,456 yards. You've got five lakes at the venue, so water comes into play on 11 holes. It hosted the 2020 Irish Open to this one, which John Catlin won on 10 under par. Like I mentioned, plenty of water around, lots of bunker as well, tree-lined fairways. Accuracy is a big factor here. Not so much emphasis on distance for me. It's about hitting the short stuff, having solid approach shots. When Catlin won in 2020, he ranked high in greens and regulations and accuracy. Ewan Ferguson, he was also quite prominent in those two areas when he won this tournament last year. For Castle Rock, it's what you'd expect of a links course, really. It's a really, really good test. You know, you've got water on four holes, so that's not much around it, but it's just the fact that you're going to have the thick rough, you're going to have the sloping fairways, undulating greens.
What's the weather going to be like?
Well, the weather, Thursday is meant to be okay. Friday is where it's meant to get a bit windier, a little bit of rain. So it's a look at the draw as well, because you're not sure where your players, who you pick, are going to be playing. So really, you want to be playing Castle Rock on Thursday, and then you want Galgorm through the rest of the 3 days, really. You don't want Castle Rock on Friday.
And when can punters find out that information, James? If they go on the DP World Tour website, sort of Wednesday onwards, the pairings, or the three balls will be out, won't they? So they'll be able to see where they're playing, yeah.
Yeah, it should be Wednesday when the three balls come out, and you'll be able to see which one they're playing first, so then you'll know what course that they're playing second time around.
If you've got selections for the ladies, I better tell you what the prices are. Leona Maguire, 5-1 favourite, Georgia Hall, 7, and then it's 20, Olivia Cowan, 22, Albain Valenzuela, and 25, Bart. How many have you got for the men?
Got three selections for the men.
Go on, then fire away with your headliner.
Headline with Callum Hill at 25-1. Now, he won the 2019 Northern Ireland Open. We should have said that probably earlier on, that this course has hosted the Northern Ireland Open since 2013 onwards. So he won at the course then. He's also had a finish of 7th and 28th year. So course form is strong. His recent form has been quite positive as well. He was tied 10th at the BMW International Open, tied 4th at the British Masters. He missed the cut in the maiden in Himmerland. Not too bothered about that, because he returned with a tied 25th at the Scottish Open. So he hasn't been seen since then. He didn't qualify for the Open, so he's had a bit of a break. Two top fives and three top tens this season. Now, he's accurate off the tee. He's been putting extremely well, and I think he looks set to have another strong run this week. He's a player who, you know, I think 25-1 is quite a juicy price for him, for someone who is usually a prominent member on the DP World Tour. And the fact, when you look at this field, it's not as strong as some of the normal DP World Tour fields. I think you've got a lot of Challenge Tour members are playing in this one. So I think there's definitely, if you've got experience playing at a higher level, then I think you've got a good chance.
Okay, if it's not going to be Callum Hill, who could it be?
Sticking with the Scottish tradition here, and Conor Syme at 40-1 for the second pick. Now, his recent form has been a little bit scratchy. His last outing was a miscut at the Open, but I think a little breakaway for him will have recharged the batteries, gotten ready for this challenge. He was 10th here on debut in 2019. He was second here last year. All four rounds were in the red that week as well. He just found Ewan Ferguson too good on that week. I think Ewan Ferguson blasted out of the blocks last year, and he had a 61, I think it was, on the first round, and pretty much just held off the rest of the field since then. For Syme, though, I think if he can sort of rediscover that usual consistent play that he has, it helped him to a tied 10th finish at the Porsche European Open, a tied 14th at the BMW International Open. They're not too easy courses, so at big odds, I think he could be a real danger.
Okay, and the third tip?
Third tip, 50-1 is Darren Fickart, the South African. Now, he's making his course debut over both of them, but he's very experienced, and I can't see that being a major issue for him, really. Now, Fickart, he mixes it up between Challenge Tour, DP World Tour, and the Sunshine Tour these days. He recently won on the Challenge Tour, followed that up with back-to-back tied 10ths on the DP World Tour and Challenge events. He's 20th in driving accuracy this season on the DP World Tour, so that should put him in good stead on these two courses. At 50-1, I just think there's a chance that he can outperform those odds. I think he's been slightly overlooked for someone, again, who plays, I said, he mixes it up with over three tours, but he's well known, I think, Fickart now. He's a well known name on the DP World Tour, and he's been in contention a lot of times. So, at 50-1, I think he's a good price.
Splendid. And how many selections have you got for the women's tournament?
So, we've got two selections for the women's draw.
Okay, fire away with your main one.
Headline tip of Emily Christine Pedersen, 25-1. Now, the women's field for this one, it's not the strongest. You don't have many of the bigger names playing. Obviously, got Georgia Hall in there. But I just think Christine Pedersen is one of the regulars on the LPGA Tour. So she heads here off the back of a tied 30th finish at the Women's British Open at Walton Heath last week. Solid effort, I think. She was in and around in the first two rounds up towards the top of the leaderboard, sort of fading away a little bit, but keeping the game going over the weekend. But I think she can keep a bit of that momentum going here. She ranks 8th in greens in regulation this season. I think that stands her in good stead for this event. It's all about keeping the driver in check for me for Pedersen, though. She hits it a long way. She's 7th in distance, but 72nd in accuracy. However, she is still hitting 72% of her fairways, even though that accuracy rank seems way low down. So that's still a good percentage for me. She also played here last year and she was tied 4th. So obviously she likes it. She can keep hold of that driver. She can mix distance with accuracy on these two courses. So I reckon at 25-1, she's got a good chance of contending again.
Jolly good. And who's the other one?
And the final selection at 33-1 is Yu Liu. So it's L-I-U if you're looking for it on the market. Bit of a mixed season for you so far. She's had some bright spots over the year, though. She was tied 2nd at the Lotte Championship. Her best finish of late was a tied 9th at the Great Lake Bay Invitational. She was also tied 20th at the Scottish Open recently. So I think that form bodes quite well for this week. The fact that they're playing one of the Lynx courses. She's another player that ranks highly in greens and regulation, 16th. She was tied 11th here in 2021. It was really just a poor first round that cost her. She went round in 75, but then she got to grips with things over the next three rounds, went 70, 68, 68. So I think she likes it. I think that first round was just a bit of a blip for her, but she got used to, you know, the different shots that you have to play on these type of courses for Parkland and Lynx. I think she looks a good solid option this week. It what looks like juicy odds. Obviously, the top two in the market are they're way ahead in the market, and then you've got a lot of value further down. So I'm happy to take on the favourites in the market for the women's section. The fact that there's only two and that they're so short compared to everyone else.
Excellent. Many thanks, James. Should we reiterate the tips then? The BMW Invitational?
We will indeed.
What is it? I never get my other words. I know the sponsor, but I take potluck, whether it's Invitational, International, Championship, Trophy. What have we got?
It's the BMW Championship. That's the one we're going for.
Three tips for that.
So the headline tip, Patrick Cantlay, then it's Colin Morikawa as the danger, and then Hideki Matsuyama as the third and final one.
And the ISPS Handa World Supremacy Championship. Who's the three for the men there?
Three for the men. We're going Callum Hill, we've got Connor Syme, and then Darren Fickart.
And the two in the ladies' tournament.
Emily Christine Pedersen and Yu Liu.
Excellent. Anything else to add, James, before we sign off?
Just in terms of the ISPC for the men's tournament that we mentioned in there, of course, we had a chat about the Ryder Cup before, and just the fact that this is a massive chance for Robert McIntyre and Victor Perez as well. Both of those are very prominent in the qualification standings. McIntyre's got the third spot on the European points list. Perez is close on that list and on the world points list as well. So a good performance from any of these two, a victory for either of them, I think rubber stamps their place at the Marco Simone Golf Club for either Perez or McIntyre.
Excellent. Ryder Cup fever is growing. Thank you so much for James for his excellent work these last 2 weeks on the sweet spot. Some really nice place returns last week. Hopefully some more this week as well. Steve Palmer will be back refreshed and bronzed to look ahead to the Tour Championship and the Czech Masters next Tuesday. We hope you can join us for that. In the meantime, enjoy the golf, hopefully enjoy some sunshine, and hopefully enjoy some winners. Back next Tuesday for another sweet spot.